listening to the Moon, coming to you from CKUW 95.9 FM.
For my magic star. Star, wishing star, rainbow star, sunlight.
The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps it would help calm you if I told you a story that I just heard. Strange story about a raven as black as sin that could talk like a man. I call my story The Dark Wings of Death.
Before Dr. Weird takes you to his world of mystery, a brief look at the world of fashion. When the new Adam 5 was first designed, Adam's expert hatters spared no time nor expense to make sure that the Adam 5 would be smart. Down to the very last detail. They got what they wanted, and so will you, for just $5. The new Adam 5 is now on display at the thousands of Adam hat stores and authorized dealers from coast to coast. Step into the one nearest you and ask to see an Adam 5. Notice the handsome style, the perfect fit, the quality all fur felt. Then, try it on. Yes, sir. You'll look like a new man in your Adam 5. Now, Dr. Weird.
And now for my story, The Dark Wings of Death. It begins in the small East Side apartment of Ned and Helen Kennedy, who are having a slight discussion.
Ned, I tell you, if your Uncle Simon won't lend you the money, you'll have to kill him and take it, do you hear?
But look, Helen, if we just wait a little longer, he's so old and feeble, he may die any day now.
We can't wait. That shortage in your accounts will be discovered by next week. We've talked this all over before. Why are you hesitating now? You're afraid?
No, no, it's not that. It's that pet raven of Uncle's. It makes me so uneasy.
His raven. So that's it. You're afraid of a bird.
Now, wait a minute, Helen. That raven isn't an ordinary bird. The way it watches me with those red eyes and the way it screeches whenever I'm in the room. Well, it almost acts as if it knew I was thinking of killing Uncle Simon.
All right, Ned, go to prison then.
No. Oh, I'll do it if I have to. But I'm going to try to borrow the money from him first.
You can try, but you won't get it. Now, you'd better get over to that horrible old tenement he lives in with his supper. After he's eaten it and fallen asleep, remember just how we planned everything. Turn on the gas heater, unlighted, so it'll look as if it had been blown out and he died in his sleep.
A few minutes later, Ned Kennedy was entering a small, bitterly cold room on the top floor of an ancient tenement building that stood on the very banks of the East River, its windows looking directly down on the cold, gray water. In a bed against the wall, a white-haired old man lay, his face lighting up with malicious amusement as Ned entered. On the head of the bed perched a huge black raven, and as it saw Ned, it flapped its wings angrily.
Quiet, Lucifer! Come on in, Ned. You needn't be afraid of Lucifer.
I brought you some soup and sandwiches for your supper, Uncle Simon. I'll put them on the table here.
Not poisoned, are they, Ned? Not poisoned by that pretty little devil you married?
Uncle, for heaven's sake, don't be absurd. Here, eat your supper before the soup gets cold.
All right, Ned. Now then, what's on your mind? You want something, I can tell. Out with it, Ned.
All right, Uncle Simon. I'm $4,000 short in my accounts at the gas company.
Huh?
I've got to replace the money this week or I'll be caught.
You want me to lend it to you, is that it?
Please, Uncle. You've got to. You wouldn't let your only living relative go to jail, would you?
Aye, of course I would. If you've stolen, you should pay the penalty.
Why, you miserable old skinflint. No! Let go, you kick me. Lose him!
No, get away from me! Get away from me! He's trying to get in my eyes!
That'll teach you to try tricks on me!
Well, get him away from me! He's trying to pick my eyes out!
Where's your hat? Where's your perch?
Look at my hand! It's bleeding!
Serves you right. Next time I won't stop him. Lucifer will pick your eyes right out of your head. And your soul right out of your body, Ned. Yes. Carry them away to Beelzebub, his master, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop that.
Lucifer isn't any ordinary bird. He's a winged demon, straight from Inferno. Yes, and as sure as ever you harm me, Lucifer will snatch you up and fly off to the pit with you.
I said stop it!
Yeah, ask Mrs. O'Rourke, the superintendent's wife downstairs. Many's the night she's seen Lucifer flying away from the window in the darkness, his eyes gleaming with red fire, and his claws glowing with phosphorus, off to pay a visit to the devil, his master.
Oh, that's just nonsense. Now, if you've finished, I'll take the dishes away. You sure you won't lend me the money then, Uncle Simon?
No, I won't. $10,000 hidden in the wall here beside my bed, as you know. You shan't have that till I die.
I tell you, there's no other way. If your uncle won't lend you the money, you have to kill him and take it, do you hear?
Good night, Ned. I'm going to sleep now. After they put you in jail, Lucifer and I will come and visit you. Now and then...
The old skinflint. He's asleep.
When he's asleep, turn on the gas heater. Unlight it. So it'll look as if it had been blown out. In an hour, he'll be dead and it'll look like an accident.
Yes, I have to do it. I have to do it.
Before you take a rest, Dr. Weird, would you tell me the time?
You're not leaving already, are you?
Oh, not yet, Doctor. I just wanted to remind the man of our audience that whatever the hour, they're usually meeting people whose opinions they just naturally value. Calling on business associates, joining a friend at lunch, going to the theater. Those are the times you want to look your best. And nothing counts more in making a good impression than your personal appearance. Naturally, clothes are important. But what's equally important is that every article fit into the picture. That's where Adam hats come in, because the style of an Adam is just right. Made of fine quality all-fur felt in the smartest shades, Adam hats are the last word in fashion. Carefully designed down to the smallest detail and long wearing as well. An Adam is a wise investment in your personal appearance. So if you want to look your best, stop your clothes picture with a new Adam hat. Now, Dr. Weird.
And now to continue my story, The Dark Wings of Death. After leaving the gas heater turned on full and unlighted in his uncle's tiny room, Ned has just reached home.
Helen! Helen!
Ned, you did it, didn't you? I can tell by your face.
Yes, I had to. He absolutely refused to lend me the money.
I told you he would. You got it anyway, didn't you? Where is it? Let me see it.
Why, I haven't got it yet.
You haven't? Why not?
Well, I couldn't get it until he was dead, of course. Till the room is filled with gas and he's breathed it for a while.
Oh, yes, of course. But I said it'd be easy, and it was, wasn't it?
Yes. Except for the raven. It attacked me. Look at my hand.
It's just a scratch. Don't tell me you're still worried about that bird.
Well, suppose it attacks me again when I go back for the money.
Forget it. The raven will be dead, too. The gas will kill it.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
In any case, I'm going back with you. I'll wait until midnight. He's sure to be dead by then. Oh, and another thing. The room will be full of gas. We'll have to wear masks of some kind.
Masks? Why, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I did. As auditor, you have keys to the gas company office. We'll go down now and get two of the masks the workmen use when they're repairing leaks in the mains. In the morning, you can replace them and no one will ever know.
It was just after midnight when Ned stood once more in the cold, dark hall outside his uncle's door. Helen at his side.
I don't hear any sound inside.
Of course not. They're both dead. Come on, put on your mask and let's get it over with.
All right. Here, now, this strap goes over your head. Now, breathe through your mouth.
They can talk, too. These masks are the latest type.
Talk? Yes, I can, can't I?
There. Now we're all set. Have your flashlight on.
Mm-hmm.
We mustn't turn on any lights. The least spark would explode the gas and blow us sky high.
I know. Come on.
He's dead.
Of course he is.
Where's the raven?
Oh, what does it matter? Come on. Help me move the bed. You take that end.
All right.
Take it easy now. He looks as if he were asleep.
Oh, forget him. Where did he keep the money?
There's a loose board. Listen. The raven. It's still alive.
It can't be. I don't hear it.
There. It's perched on that chair. Flapping its wings. Oh, get away from me. Get away.
Ned, get hold of yourself. There's nothing there. Nothing, I tell you.
There is. It attacked me. Look out. Here it comes again. Trying to get at my eyes. Keep it away. Keep it away.
Ned, stand still. You've backed us right up against the window. I tell you, there's nothing there. It's just your imagination.
It's coming at my eyes again. I'll stop it.
Ned, that gun, where'd you get
it? I brought it with me in case of an emergency. I'll stop that raven.
Oh, don't use that gun, you fool. This room is full of gas. The shot would make it explode and kill us both.
Look out. It's coming at me again. Don't.
A short time later, Mrs. O'Rourke, wife of the superintendent, was telling the police a strange story.
Just at midnight it was, officer. And I'm standing at the window when up above there's an explosion, fair to wake the dead. And outside me window I see a great flash of light. And what else do you suppose?
You've already told us, Mrs. O'Rourke. You saw a man and a woman blown clear out through the window and into the river down there.
Blown out, nothing. They was flying through the air, holding on to each other. And that raven had his claws in the man's hair and was flying away with them. His eyes blazing fire as he took them off to the devil, his master.
Now, Mrs. O'Rourke, you're letting your imagination run away with you.
I know what I saw.
But you can't have seen that, because we found the raven dead on the floor beside the old man's bed. The gas had killed the two of them, both together.
Strange about Ned and Helen, wasn't it? Their bodies were never recovered from the river. It was almost as if they really had been carried off to someplace not on this earth. But since Lucifer the Raven was found dead beside his master's bed, what do you suppose it was that flew at Ned in the darkness? Birds never have ghosts. Or do they? Oh, you have to go. And perhaps you'll drop in again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weird.
While Dr. Weird prepares his statement of next week's thriller, I'd like to read a brief statement from the makers of Atom Hats, who bring you this program. Quote, our purpose is to offer hats of the finest style, made of the finest material, and executed with the finest workmanship. We want you to know that your Atom hat is a quality hat. At the same time, we want your purse to know that Atom offers a great value. So we present our smart line of Atom hats at prices which we honestly believe give you the most for your money. Millions of men agree with us, and we're sure you will too. Step into any of the thousands of Atom hat stores and authorized dealers all over the nation. And our hatters will be glad to show you our latest line of fine-looking Atom hats. Priced from $3.45 to $10. Unquote. Now, Dr. Weird.
I hope you'll drop in again next week. I want to tell you a story I call The Secret Room. A story about two escaped Nazi prisoners who were quite sure they were smarter than the... But the rest of the story will have to wait until your next visit. Good night.
Join us again next week at this same time for another visit with the strange Dr. Weird. Strange Dr. Weird, directed by Jock McGregor, is presented by the makers of Atom Hats, the hats that are always top in quality. Dick Willard speaking. This is...
The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Well, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you. But there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, being lost in a wilderness where death is never more than a few inches away, as in the story I want to tell you tonight, a story I call Dead Man's Paradise. My story begins in the wild and desolate swamplands near the mouth of the Mississippi River. In a small Cajun shack, all but hidden by the overhanging cypress trees, Andre Morel speaks to his son, Paul.
Paul, the sun has been up for an hour already. You must see to our traps.
Yeah, but, Father, you're ill. I don't like leaving you here alone.
I'll be all right. No, please, tend to the traps.
Very well, Father. I'll be back just as soon as I...
Take him out, Paul, there.
Who are you? What do you want?
You'll find out soon enough, old man.
Duke, get that rifle of theirs over the fireplace.
Okay. You must be the two bank robbers the radio was warning everyone about.
That's right, bright boy. Now every cop in Louisiana is looking for us. How far are we from New Orleans?
40 miles.
40 miles, huh? Well, you're taking us there in your boat.
But we lend our boat to Pierre Duvel. Besides, no boat can get through swamps.
Hey, Ace, what are we going to do? We figured on sailing right through to New Orleans with no trouble at all.
We'll have to make it on foot, that's all. These Cajuns know every inch of the swamp, so Bright Boy here will guide us.
No, no, it's impossible.
Well, you must. He will kill you if you do not do as he asks.
That's right, kid. Your old man's talking sense.
But you don't know the swamps. We must travel by narrow Indian trails through bad stretches of quicksand where a single misstep means death.
It can't be that bad. Why, on my road map, this region is listed as Paradise Swamp.
Yes, but the old name, the name the Indians gave it, was Dead Man's Paradise. Because no stranger who ever entered it came out alive. There's the quicksand, pools of it, waiting to trap strangers. And there are the insects, the mosquitoes that drive men mad. There are the birds, whose shrieks sound like the screams of dying men.
Hey, listen to that.
That's a lot of malarkey. Bright Boy here's going to guide us, and that's that.
But I can't leave my father here alone. Can't you see he's ill?
I don't want to leave him alone any more than you do. He might talk. So I'm going to see to it that none of us have to worry about him anymore.
What do you mean?
Just this.
Father! You've killed him.
Yeah. And that's what's going to happen to you if you don't do exactly as I tell you. Now let's get started. I want to be in New Orleans by tomorrow night.
We've been walking for 7 hours now, Ace. How far do you figure we've come?
Hey, Bright Boy. How far have we come since this morning?
10 miles.
10 miles? Hey, that ain't bad.
Hey, Ace, what's that?
That's just a bird, not a ghost. Pull yourself together, Duke. There's nothing to be scared of. Just trees, underbrush, and swamp pools.
Yeah, I know, but everywhere you turn, everything looks the same.
Yeah.
If we didn't have that Cajun kid to guide us... Ace, look, kid's trying to give us a slip.
Oh, he is he? Well, this'll teach him.
Ace, you hit him.
Yeah, I could hardly miss him at this distance. Come on. Should have kept a closer watch on him. Might have known he'd try something like this. Well, here he is.
His head's all covered with blood. He's dead, all right.
Yeah. You never knew what hit him.
Yeah, but Ace, what are we going to do now without the kid to guide us?
Well, we'll just have to go on the rest of the way by ourselves.
But how we find our way everywhere you turn is nothing but swamp. We can't go on without a guide.
Get hold of yourself, you fool. If you lose your head, you're done for.
Yeah, but Ace, what chance we
got? Shut up, will you? Listen to what I have to say. Now, by keeping our eyes on the sun and doing a little figuring, we can keep going in the right direction. As for the quicksand, well, we'll just have to watch our step. Just keep saying one thing to yourself. New Orleans is only 30 miles away, and we're going to make it.
Doctor, may I comment upon the verisimilitude demonstrated by the introductory sections of your dramatic effort?
Explain yourself, young man.
Your story, its design is excellent.
Such fine style and expert handling of details. And you know, Doctor, it's those very same qualities that make Adam hats so outstanding, too. That's because the designs for Adam hats are created by experts in their field. The smart styles and carefully handled detail you see in every Adam is the product of years of experience. And just as each listener will find a different shade of meaning in a story, so will every man find the shade of color he prefers in the large selection of Adam hats. Gentlemen, there's only one logical conclusion to this story about Adam hats. Buy one for yourself. An Adam hat has character. Now, back to Dr. Weird's story.
And now I'll continue my story, Dead Man's Paradise. 5 hours have passed. 5 hours of nightmare for Ace and Duke. The shadowy cypress trees and underbrush seemed to become thicker every mile they pushed on. And they were constantly forced to detour around swamp pools and lakes, ever mindful of the treacherous quicksands they must avoid.
How far do you think we've come, Ace, since we left that Cajun kid?
About 4 or 5 miles, I guess.
Well, look, the sun's going down. It'll be dark before long. What do we do now?
We'll stop pretty soon and wait for dawn. In the morning, we'll push on.
Neither of you will ever get out of these swamps alive.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that sounded like...
You have committed murder, and you must pay.
Hey, Ace, it's the voice of that Cajun kid.
No, no, it can't be. I knocked him off.
It's the voice of his ghost, that's what it is.
Oh, don't be a fool.
The ones who have died in the swamps, say you too must die.
Hey, you see, I told you he's come back to get us.
Both of you will die in the quicksand. Only 20 feet ahead of you is a pool of quicksand.
Hey, you hear that? There's quicksand ahead.
Doc, don't be a fool, I tell you. You really think this quicksand ahead he'd warn us? Just a trick to get us to walk in another direction where the quicksand really is.
Yes, I guess you're right.
Why, sure I am. Now keep going, straight ahead.
Oh, okay.
We still got an hour or so until it gets too dark to travel. We got to make the most of it.
Yeah, but just the same, don't you think? Hey!
What's wrong?
I stepped into some quicksand, Ace. Help me out. I'm sinking.
Duke, try crawling out.
I can't. I keep sinking deeper. Ace, help me.
Oh, if I only had a rope or something. Wait till I look around.
No, don't leave me.
Look, how can I help
you? Ace, suck me down. It's already up to my chest. Give me a hand and pull me out, will you?
I can't do that. You'd pull me in with you.
Ace, do something.
There's nothing I can do without a rope.
No, there must be. Ace, don't let me die like this. Help me, will you?
There's only one thing I can do for you, Duke. And this is it. Duke. He's dead.
Yes. He's paid for his crime. Now it is your turn.
No. No, you may have gotten Duke, but you won't get me. You won't get me!
With an effort, Ace pulled himself together, determined not to suffer Duke's fate. Taking a bearing from the twilight rays of the sun, Ace continued on his way, cautiously scanning the ground before him. Time and time again, the voice of the Cajun boy came echoing through the swamps, mocking Ace's efforts to escape, telling him of the quicksand that lay waiting on every side.
There's no escape for you. Just ahead of you lies quicksand. And you are going to die in it.
Shut up! Shut up, you hear?
Death is waiting for you in the quicksand ahead.
Maybe this will keep you quiet.
You should have saved one bullet for yourself.
Be quiet. Be quiet, you hear? You're dead. You can't talk.
You seem confused now. Is the quicksand ahead of you? To the left? To the right? If I were you, I'd turn to the left.
Oh, trying to outsmart me, aren't you? Well, you can't. I'm going straight ahead.
You're making a mistake. There is quicksand just ahead.
If it was, you wouldn't be telling me. I know better than to... I'm caught. It is quicksand. I'm sinking.
Yes, it's quicksand. And in a minute, you'll sink beneath the surface. Then your crimes will be paid for.
You're not dead. You're alive. I didn't kill it.
No. That bullet you fired at me only creased my scalp, knocked me unconscious. I recovered in time to trail you, get my revenge.
Oh, don't stand there. Get me out of here. I'll confess to anything. Only get me out of here.
Why should I help you? You killed my father. No! This is the same pool of quicksand that Duke died in. And now you're going to join him.
No, no.
You've been wandering around in circles for hours. But I knew you'd end up here.
No. Oh, don't let me die. Don't let me die.
The quicksand is up to your neck now. In a minute, it will reach your mouth. And then, it'll be all over.
Save me. I don't want to die.
No, my father didn't want to die either. But you killed him.
Help me. You must help me.
Nobody can help you now.
Don't let me die.
I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to tell you that this is the only quicksand hole in all the swamp between here and New Orleans.
If Ace had only known there was just one pool of quicksand, he might have reached New Orleans. But you see, he let his imagination run wild, envisioned death on all sides. No wonder he traveled in circles and ended up dead. I know another case where... Oh, you have to go now? Too bad. But perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. I'm always home. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
The Strange Dr. Weir.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps it would help if I told you a story about a friend of mine who had a most unusual experience. You see, he was executed first and then committed murder afterwards. I call his story The Man Who Lived Twice. My story, The Man Who Lived Twice, begins on the gallows, where Professor Karl Muller, world-famous scientist, is about to die for murder. As the executioner finishes adjusting the rope around the condemned man's neck, the warden speaks.
Well, Muller, is there anything you wish to say?
Only this. You are hanging me for a crime I did not commit. Very well. Then I shall become a criminal, a murderer. And you, warden... you shall be one of the first to feel my vengeance.
Proceed with the execution.
Professor Williams.
Yes, come quickly.
Of course. Everything's ready and waiting, right here.
Good. Start the artificial heart pumping.
Of course.
Thanks to the governor's special order, everything went smoothly. Look, John.
So you got it.
Yes. The law has Professor Muller's dead body, but we have his head. The head containing the wonderful brain of Karl Muller. The governor thought I wanted to dissect it, but we'll bring it to life. We must work fast. In 10 minutes, with luck, we'll have brought back to life the genius that was Karl Muller.
We've won, Professor. Look, his eyes, they blinked.
Yes.
Now they're opening.
They're staring at us. His brain lives and knows what we're doing. Now, John, we must find some way to let that mighty brain we've rescued from the grave speak to us. so that its great work may be carried on. Come, John, we must work fast.
For many days, Professor Williams and John tried to build some kind of vocal apparatus which would enable Karl Muller's still living head to speak to them. But each effort failed, until at last they became desperate.
Another failure. John, I'm afraid we're beaten.
There must be some way, Professor. Look, Muller's eyes are watching us. He knows what's happening. I'll bet he could tell us what to do if he could talk.
Yes, but he can't. What was that?
Something in the road outside. An automobile accident, perhaps.
Oh, of course. John, we may not be able to keep Muller's head alive much longer. Unless we can communicate with him, I need his advice.
There must be some answer.
Muller's notes give full details. Someone's at the door. Quick, lock it. No one must enter this room.
Help me.
It's someone who's hurt. He's bleeding. That crash we heard.
Please help me. Accident. Car hit the tree. Thrown out in front of...
Hey, catch him, quick.
I've got him. He's fainted.
Put him down on the couch here. Let me look at him.
What is it?
This fellow's dead. A bit of steel has apparently entered the temple here and pierced the brain. I'm surprised that he even lived to reach the door.
Dead? Well, then I better phone the police to send the morgue wagon.
Yes, No. Wait.
Yes, Professor?
John, look at this stranger whose dead body fate has brought us. His head is the same size and shape as Karl Muller's. Professor Muller's brain should fit into this stranger's head almost exactly.
Yes, but...
Listen. Here we have a sound body with a damaged brain. Over there is Muller's brain alive, but with no body. John, we're going to do it. We're going to put Muller's brain into this stranger's body and truly bring Muller back to life again.
Say, Doctor, tonight's story has me a little worried. Do you think you could give us a little idea of what happened next?
Certainly. You're going to spend no more than 40 seconds talking about Adam hats.
Oh, I can do it in 30. Gentlemen, the way an Adam hat keeps its smart appearance is something to marvel at. There's very little fussing with brims or constant blocking, because an Adam is made of high-quality, long-wearing, all-fur felt. Adam hats are designed for fashion, too, coming in a wide variety of distinctive shades and shapes, so that you can choose the Adam that's right for you. There's a flair to an Adam that just naturally does something for a fellow. Prices are only $3.45 to $10 at Adam Hat stores and authorized dealers everywhere. Tomorrow, make an investment in your personal appearance. Buy yourself an Adam Hat. Now, back to Dr. Weird.
And now to continue my story, the man who lived twice. For an hour, Professor Williams and John worked swiftly to carry out the task of transferring the living brain of Karl Muller into the body of the stranger, so providentially brought to them by fate. At the end of that time...
Look, John, he's breathing.
The operation was successful.
Yes, I can feel a pulse beat. Switch off the pumps. See? He lives! He lives!
The body, yes. But the brain, will that live too?
Only time will tell us.
For weeks, the two scientists tended their amazing patient day and night. And then one day, the stranger's body moved, a sign that the transplanted brain had taken control of its new home. But after that, it was only a matter of days before Karl Muller was able to get up and dress and inspect in a mirror the new body that had become his.
Ah, yes. Yes, Professor Williams, you have done well. Excellently. I find it hard to believe this is truly me, Karl Muller.
But it is. And how the world will marvel when it learns the truth.
Well, the world, yes. Tell me, this body that is now mine, to whom did it belong before our little transfer?
You were named Larry Johnson, Professor. That's about all we know. You see, there was an accident and...
Yes, I know. I witnessed the arrival of Mr. Johnson, remember. But you know nothing of this Larry Johnson who staggered in so fortunately that day to
present me with his body?
No, we never made any inquiries. We didn't want to attract attention.
You are wise. It does not matter who I was. What does matter is that I am now Karl Müller, a genius with 50 years of life still ahead of him. But, of course, I cannot use the name of Müller.
What do you mean?
Karl Müller was convicted for the crime of murder because a subject died in an experiment. So Karl Müller must stay dead. But as Lady Johnson, a new scientific genius, will arise to astound the world.
What that means?
It means that no one must ever know what happened in this laboratory.
No one ever know.
It must be a secret, always. And for another reason, too. Those fools who convicted me, they must be made to pay, and they shall with their lives.
What are you saying?
I was convicted of murder. I shall become a murderer. The judge, the prosecutor, the jury, they shall all feel my vengeance.
That's madness, Müller. Listen to me. Your brain's been affected by what's happened.
My brain is clear and stronger than ever. I shall have my vengeance secretly, cleverly. My victims, they will cower in terror the thought I am striking back at them from beyond the grave. I've been making my plans as I convalesced.
No, we'll stop you.
Will you? I think not.
John, look out. He's got a scalpel in his hand. He's got it! You've killed him.
Yes. Now it is your turn.
No, stay away from me.
You must die so my secret will remain safe.
You're mad.
I'm a genius. The world, it will cower at my feet before I am through. But enough of talking.
No. No. Let me go. Let me.
All who stand in my way shall suffer the same fate. Now no one in the world knows that Karl Müller, who died on the gallows, lives again.
A few hours later, Karl Müller left the house. His plan was simple. He would take over Larry Johnson's identity, claiming that the accident he had been in had given him amnesia and he could remember nothing of his past. Confidently, he walked into town and then stopped to ask the first policeman he met the way to the address he had found in Larry's wallet.
Pardon me, officer. Which way is Michigan Avenue, please?
Why are you... Larry. Larry Johnson.
Why, yes, of course I'm Larry Johnson. What of it?
What of it? I'll show you what of it. There, put up your hands or I'll plug you.
Just a moment. What is this? I have done nothing.
You have done nothing?
Look, officer, I've been in an accident. My men...
You'll be in a worse accident if you try anything. I've got you now.
But I don't understand. But...
You'll understand when the judge sentences you to hang, you murdering rat.
Hang? No, this can be.
You'll find out.
No, I've done nothing.
Let go of that gun.
No.
Let go or I'll plug you.
Give me that gun.
I'll shoot it.
I'll shoot it.
I warned you. Well, you had it coming. I've only saved the state the price of a trial.
Yes. Yes, you have. What was Larry Johnson wanted for, anyway?
What were you wanted for? For holding up a bank messenger and then killing Officer Clancy in your getaway, that's all. Yeah, and for stealing a getaway car which you wrecked and abandoned out in the suburbs.
No. Wanted for murder. The body I took was wanted for murder.
Poor Professor Müller. To think that after being executed, he should get a brand new body, only to find himself wanted for murder all over again. It looks as if fate was determined he should stay dead, doesn't it? And he has, since then. In fact, he's buried in the cemetery outside. He's the only man in the world who has two graves and is buried in both of them. Would you like me to show them to you? All your leaving. I hope you'll drop in again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
Stay tuned for quality programming from the Saturday Morning Show right here on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Strange Dr. Weir.
Good evening. Come in, won't you?
Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you. But there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, a ship at sea. A ship doomed by fate. As in the story I want to tell you tonight. A story I call Murder Ship. My story begins aboard a coastwise liner, the SS Arctic Star, as it slowly gropes its way through a thick, all-enveloping gray fog. On one of the decks of the liner, a man and a woman stand by the railing.
Now, look, Millie, you don't want to go ashore broke, do you?
But, Larry, I'm afraid.
I tell you, I saw this guy Abbott's bankroll. He's carrying at least $20,000 in cash.
Larry, it's too dangerous.
There's nothing to it. The two of us go to his stateroom. You hold his attention, and I let him have it with a knife. When we dock 2 hours from now, you and me just walk off the ship with the other 500 passengers.
But...
we'll be on a train in New York with 20 G's in our pockets before they even discover the body.
Larry, I have a feeling that we'll be caught. Please give it up.
All right. If that's the way you want it, then you and I are through.
You don't mean that, do you?
I do. Unless you pull this job with me.
All right, Larry. I'll do whatever you say.
Abbott's stateroom, Millie. Don't forget what you're supposed to do.
I won't.
Hello, Mr. Abbott. May we come in?
Why, yes, of course, Mr. Sanders. How are you, Mrs. Sanders?
Quite well, thank you. Larry and I would like you to have a drink with us before we dock.
Why, I'd like to very much, but I haven't much...
Surely you can spare a few minutes.
Well, if you put it that way, I guess... you stabbed me.
Is he dead?
Yeah. Now, where's that bankroll? It is. Here it is. Look at the size of it. Let's see.
Larry, let's get out of here.
9, 10, 12, 14, 16.
Oh, Larry, please.
18, 20, 21. A little over 21,000. Well, Millie, was it worth the risk?
Oh, yes, only let's get out of here. I have a feeling that something... Larry, what's happened?
Felt like a collision with another ship. Come on, let's get up on deck.
Larry, what's wrong?
Don't seem to be able to open this door.
But it's the only way out of here.
It's jammed. Maybe I can break it down. It's too solid.
Well, if we don't get out of here, we'll go down with the ship. We'll drown.
Maybe if we yell, someone will hear us and break the door down with a...
Yes. Knife. Help! Help! What's that?
Help! We're in stateroom D7. The door's stuck. Help!
Oh, Larry, it's no use. It's no use. They left us behind the
drive. No, don't say that, Millie. Help! Help!
Oh, Larry, look. The floor of the stateroom is beginning to slant. The ship's sinking.
No, no, it's your imagination.
Now, look. Water's coming in under the door. Oh, we're sinking, Larry. We're sinking.
Help! 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 Help!
Dr. Weir's mystery will be continued shortly. Say, by the way, Doctor, is mystery your sole pleasure?
Young man... what could be more pleasant than mystery?
Well, music, for instance. That's
music, why, of course. Have you ever heard my clanking of chains?
Doctor, I'm afraid you've got me wrong. I mean the kind of music men hum or whistle when they feel on top of the world. And, gentlemen, one of the many things that give you that tip-top feeling is the pleasure of being well-dressed. Perfect taste is the criterion. And in hats, there's nothing smarter than an Adam. From stem to stern, your Adam hat gives off that look of quality. You see quality in the carefully molded shape, and in the richness of the genuine all-fur felt, and in the subtle color shade. Next time you pass an Adam hat store or authorized dealer, stop in and try on an Adam. Once you see and wear an Adam hat, you'll agree that today, as before, Adam is one of America's outstanding hat values. Now... the good Dr. Weir.
And now I'll finish my story, Murder Ship. It's a half hour since the SS Arctic Star was rammed and started sinking. Trapped in the stateroom of the late Mr. Abbott, Larry and Millie find themselves waist deep in water. Larry, fear in his eyes, stands by the porthole, looking out at the water, which threatens any moment to burst through and claim their lives. In the eerie semi-darkness of the stateroom, Millie sobs hysterically.
Oh, it's the youth. We're going to die. I know we are.
Don't say that. Look, the water stopped rising. Grant must close the ventilator grating. Room's airtight now, and the pressure of the air is holding the water back.
What difference does it make? We can't get out.
They may send divers down to rescue us, like they save men trapped in sunken submarines.
Yes, but no one knows we're trapped in here.
There's always a chance of something.
Sorry, what's happened?
I think we've hit bottom. The ship doesn't seem to be moving anymore.
The floor of the stateroom, it's still sliding downwards.
Because the bow of the ship's on the bottom while the stern's above us.
What's keeping the stern up?
It's the air pockets in the stern, just like in the stateroom.
Oh, I know we're going to die trapped down here, hundreds of feet below the surface.
Millie, you must say that. There's always a chance of rescue.
I know we're going to die here, I know it. How long have we been trapped in here, Larry?
About 5 hours.
I'll be glad when it's over. We're dead. I can't stand. Sorry.
Billy, what is it?
I thought I saw something go past the porthole.
Porthole? Let me see. Billy, there's a diver out there.
Does he see you?
No, but I only had a flashlight or something to signal him with.
Your cigarette lighter?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hurry, Larry, hurry.
Yeah. I'll have it lighted in a second. There.
Oh. Yeah. What do you see?
If only he'd look up. He's only a few feet below us.
I'll move the lighter from one side of the porthole to the other.
All right. Billy, he sees it. He's waving to me.
He's trying to signal something to us.
He's only up 4 fingers. Millie, you know what that means? We'll be rescued in 4 days.
How can they possibly get us out of here?
I don't know, but they'll do it somehow. All we have to do is hang on for 4 days, Millie. I'd better signal back so we'll know we understand. Yeah, look. He sees the 4 fingers I'm holding up. He's waving at
us. Yes, you're right.
Look, he's signaling to the surface. They're pulling him up. He's gone.
Oh, Larry, do you think they'll really be able to rescue us?
Of course. Send down a diving bell or something like that. They'll get us out of here, Millie. Only it'll take a little time.
4 days. Larry, what if the oxygen in here doesn't hold out?
Yeah, you're right. There may not be enough air in here to last 2 people for 4 days.
Oh, we'll just have to hope there is.
I'm afraid I can't afford to take that chance.
What do you mean? A knife?
Yes, Millie, a knife.
Oh, Millie, a knife.
I'm afraid I must, Millie. Can't allow you to breathe the air that may save
you. No, Larry, no. I won't let you kill me.
Where'd you get that gun?
On my purse. Now, you keep away from me.
Give it to me. You hear? Give me that gun.
No, you're going to kill me. Stay away from me or I'll shoot. Stay away.
You son.
Larry, I didn't want to shoot you. You made me do it, Larry. Well, now I'm alone. All alone, hundreds of feet under the surface. Larry, don't look at me like that. Larry, please don't stare at me like that. Larry, stop staring at me. I can't stand in here any longer. I've got to get out of here. The porthole. I'll leap through the porthole. I won't stay here with you another minute. As soon as I open this portal. Oh, I can't open it. It's stuck. Oh, I've got to find something to open it with. I've got to find something to open it with.
All right, Mike, take it easy. I'll have your helmet unscrewed in a minute. And you can tell me whatever you have to say. Yeah. Take it easy while I take it off.
George, you'll never believe what I saw down there.
A mermaid, I suppose.
No, George. There are 2 people trapped in one of the staterooms on that ship.
What's that?
A man and a woman. They're trapped in the stateroom on D-deck.
You sure?
I'm positive they signaled to me.
Well, I'll be darned.
By the way, I figure it, they're only alive because their stateroom is an underwater air pocket.
How far down is their stateroom?
Yeah, the porthole is about 6 feet below the surface.
6 feet, huh?
Aye.
Well, that's a break. As soon as it's low tide, the porthole will be just out of water. We can get them out easy. Did you signal that to them?
Oh, sure. I held up 4 fingers to show that we'd have them out in 4 hours.
Fine. They're so close to the surface, we shouldn't have any trouble at all. In 4 hours, we'll have them out of there safe and sound.
Got the porthole open, the water rushing in would keep her from getting out.
Too bad, wasn't it? Such a nice couple. But so unlucky to die in such a horrible way. Only 6 feet below the surface. All because they couldn't wait just a little while longer. Their bodies are buried in the cemetery right outside my door. Perhaps you'd like to visit their graves and... Oh, you have to go now. Too bad. But perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. I'm always home. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery. The house of Dr. Weir.
Amica.